Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. You know, when I was growing up, my dad owned a steel company. I was actually a steel worker for a lot of years before I even got out of high school. My dad's company was Metalcraft Construction out in California, and so we went around building steel buildings. We built dairies. We built every kind of farm building you can imagine. And I remember this one time we did this job. And the job we did was for a Purina chicken feed, okay? Because we lived in the country. California has country, too. And we did this job, and this place was kind of a rough place to work because it's the building we were building was a building over top of where they loaded the trucks. And so as they dump the chicken feed in the back of these big trucks, you can imagine it just like the powder and everything from the chicken feed comes up, and then you mix it with a little rain, and you get a really nice chicken feed paste, and it gets all over everything, you know? And I can remember doing this job, and like all of our cords, all of our gear, all of our ladders, everything had chicken feed all over it. And it was chicken feed that had been laying around for a while, so it was kind of a tough job, you know, kind of smelled a little bit. And my dad was up on the building, and we were standing up on the roof. He was up on the side of the building putting the ridge cap in, and or the end cap. And my dad, I guess his feet slipped on the chicken feed that was on the ladder, and so he started to fall backwards. And I can remember the guy that was working with me stood right there on the edge of the building, and instead of grabbing my dad, he grabbed the screw gun out of his hand and let my dad just take off, you know. So I could see my dad like disappear into the machinery down below, and I thought, oh no, I don't know what happened. I said, man, why don't you grab my dad? You know, what are you grabbing the screw gun for? He's like, well, I didn't want the screw gun to get in the chicken feed. You know, I'm like, I understand, you know what I mean? Well, my dad ended up being okay. Weird thing, cool thing actually, is that as my dad was falling through the equipment and through the pipes and everything, we had like ammonia lines and stuff down in there. It was really bad. He said right before he fell, right before he hit the ground, something grabbed him and stopped him and set him on his feet. He never even got hurt or anything. So that's cool that my dad was God's priority. But I can tell you that when it comes to the other guy, his priority was just the tools and the equipment, you know? But I can tell you, like, in life, we have a lot of priorities, things that really matter to us. And so it's kind of hard for us to balance them all out. There are a lot of things that are important to us. In this case, it was obviously the equipment. And a lot of things important, and so we want to make sure that we have things all in order in our life, because here's the thing about priorities, is that we are going to worship our top priority. Do you know that? Whatever we place at the top point in our life, the thing that's most important to us, that's the thing we'll serve, and it's the thing that we'll worship. And here's the thing about serving. When I say serving, I mean, let's use, for instance, we put our kids first in life. It's good for you to serve your children. But when I use the word serve, I'm not talking about serve them and take care of them. I'm talking about serving them as in submitting yourself to them. It becomes a problem when we submit ourselves to anything other than or anyone other than Jesus Christ. And so it's important that what we understand in the context of worship that Christ is first, that we worship Him and we worship Him alone. And we let the things of life be the things of life. But when it comes to Christ, He's always at the apex of life. And so that's our top priority. So if you want to know what and who you really worship in your life, you have to observe your priorities. And I think this is kind of an important part of our life to look back and say, what's really important to me? What are my priorities anyway? And I can look back over my life, and some of the priorities that I saw at different times in my life, they weren't good. I mean, I'll be honest. No one ever told me, you know, you need to be introspective and you need to look at your life and you need to see what you're really all about. Because as I look back now, there was a time in my life that I was all about becoming a CEO for a large corporation. That's all I wanted. I wanted a lot of money, and I wanted that position. And everything I did in my life really kind of like zeroed around dealing with that and getting that in my life. And so, like, that was my priority. And I was a Christian. I mean, I was raised in church. I know Jesus Christ. I've always known Him all my life. But I can tell you, honestly, there were times in my life where He was not number one. My dreams were number one. The things that I wanted out of my life were number one. They became my priorities, and I can tell you, I began to worship those things because everything in my life that I did to get to that place. And I don't know if you've ever done that before. I don't know if you ever wanted something so badly that you almost made it a god in your life, and it became like the center point of your life. But God says, I want you to make me the center point of your life, and then I'll make everything else come into place for you. And so that's really what today is all about, and it's understanding who we really worship. What we make a top priority is what we worship. You know, I can tell you life is filled with priorities. And some people will tell you that, well, you know, I don't really have a control over my priorities because I have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this. But I can tell you life is about choices, okay? We set them ourselves. We set our priorities. Nobody else is responsible. we're not a victim to our priorities. Those are the things we set. Those are the things we say are really important to us. And so it's a choice for us. But did you know that our priorities should be the thing, only be things that have eternal value? You know, I'm not sure I've always thought about that. But I can tell you that the things that we need to put priority on in our life are the things that actually have some eternal value. And do you know that everything in your life has eternal value? I mean, this is the cool thing about it, is that, of course, Christ has eternal value. He's the very center point of our life. But even all the blessings that God pours out, there's like an eternal component to those things. You know, with everything God blesses you with, there's a way you can use it for eternal good. And so we'll talk about that as we go on. And so that's where we're going today. But the thing about this is we want to make sure that the blessings that God pours out in our lives end up not being our priorities. Because so often we become so like blessing driven. I don't know if you've ever been this way in your life, but we really like life the way we like life, and we love the blessings that God pours out. And it is so easy for us to get to a place where we elevate the blessings over the one who blesses us to the point where they become the priority and they become the things that we worship. And we want things the way we want things, and we want the blessings. And we get so focused on that that all of our prayers and all of our even existence wraps around the blessings that God provides and not Him alone. And I can tell you, when you have things right with the Lord, the blessings flow, right? You guys know that, right? We all know that. But often we become so blessing-driven in our prayers and everything that we do that it gets to a point in our life where if we don't get the blessings that we want, we start to get a little sour on the Lord. And I can tell you, when you put Jesus Christ as the center point of your life, you never get sour on Him ever. We understand Christ is not the issue, right? Christ is not the issue with our blessings. Christ is not the issue with anything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Right there. All right? So we understand that it's usually us that has the issue as we go through life. And we want to make sure that our blessings are not leading us around, because I can tell you, when the blessings become the focal point of your life, they will lead you around by the nose. The very thing you said, I want out of this life, I want this more than anything, will be the thing that leads you through life by the nose. And Christ says, look, I just want you to follow me. I don't want your things of life, and I don't want the things that you want in life to be the thing that drags you through life. But it oftentimes happens that way. If you want to turn your Bibles today to Joshua 24, I want to read you a passage here. Joshua was dealing with his people, and they were kind of at a crossroads for them. They had been through a lot of stuff, okay? They'd been through the wilderness. They'd been through a lot of difficult times. They'd come up against a lot of people. They were kind of like a little bit battle-weary from everything that they'd been through. And so Joshua calls all the leaders together, and he gets them all together, and he says, we need to determine what we're really about, what our priority is as a people, and we need to talk about this. And so here's what he says, and this is Joshua 24, beginning in verse 1. And as you read this story today, I want you to imagine that you have a story too, okay? Here's the deal. In your life, God has done incredible things. He has walked you through all kinds of things in your life, and you have a story to tell. And so as Joshua goes through here and he begins to tell their history, here's where you've been, here's what God has done over and over and over, I want you to imagine your story is running in parallel with this, because you have a story too. So here's what he has to say. Then Joshua assembled the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned all the elders and the leaders and the judges and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And I want you to see this. They submitted themselves before God in order to find out what their priorities are really all about. Whenever you usher God in and you say, God, I want you to show me what the condition of my heart is, He will begin to open those things up, and He will begin to show you what you're all about through the Holy Spirit. So Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshipped other gods. He says, I want you to know about your past. You see, the people who came before you, your ancestors, they worshipped other gods and they did things wrong. And I want you to know that's part of your past. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. So he's saying, I gave the family to them. Do you see the blessings of God being poured out? Like, he's beginning to make a case for exactly how God loves His people and how He blesses His people. He says, I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. In other words, He gave them their possessions. He gave them their land. Then I sent Moses and Aaron. I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought out your people of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. I want you to understand, when they came to the sea, it was like they came to a dead end. And I don't know if you've ever come to a dead end in your life before. Has anyone ever done that before? Where you come to this place where you don't know what to do. He says, you know, you came to a dead end once in your life, and I actually met you there, and here's what happened. He says, but the people cried out to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them, and he covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Can you hear the Lord speaking this in your life? You know the very thing you brought to me, the thing you said you were having trouble getting over, the problem you were facing? Did you not see what I did that day for you? Do you not see that I delivered you? Do you not see what I did to the people who stood up against you? I mean, that's our story, right? It says, then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. And we've been in wildernesses right before in our life. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, I sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Again, deliverance. God says, look, I'm the one who delivered you. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you. And he's like, do you remember that? Do you remember that time when they came up against you and they fought you? Do you remember that I was there? And here's what he says. As also did the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites, all the ites. Okay, all of them. And I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. Okay, you did not do this yourself. I did this. You know, there have been things that happened in your life that God did. It clearly has his signature on it. You didn't do it. He did it. And he's saying to you today, I did that for you. You couldn't have done it for yourself. He said, you didn't do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land which you did not toil, and cities that you did not build, and you will live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Man, isn't that our story? That is our story. It's not exactly like that, but it sounds something like that. Here's what God's actually saying to them. He says, you know what? The family you have, I gave it to you. This is part of your story. The land that you have, I gave that to you too. The safety that you have in this life and the protection, I provided that. The freedom that you have and the independence you have today, I gave that to you too. The deliverance you've experienced, the blessing, the victory, I gave all that to you. Even the cities that you're living in, I gave you those. I gave you the vineyards that you eat out of, and every bit of provision in your life, I gave it to you. It was like a history lesson of exactly what God's done. And it sounds like our lives a little bit, doesn't it? Because God's provided all these things for us. And he did it willingly. So the question is, like, how do we respond to those things? It is so easy to hear our story, their story, and then think to yourself, you know what? I love all that stuff. I love that God protects me. I love that the city he gave us here in Covington, he gave this to us. I love the fact that everything that God's ever poured out in my life, he did it. And I can tell you, we can begin to elevate those blessings and say, that's what this life is about. We can enjoy this comfort, and we can enjoy all the things that God's done. And then somehow in the mix of it all, miss him. Because I can tell you that all the things that God provides, they're amazing. His grace is amazing. His provision is amazing. His healing is amazing. Everything that he has is amazing. And it is so easy to get so wrapped up in those things that Jesus begins to take a back seat to the things that we want and the things that we enjoy. And so this is really where they find themselves in this story. He says, look, man, God has done everything for you guys. Everything. Use guys. I don't know what kind of accent to use back then. I don't know. He's done everything for you. And you know, we think about our lives, he's done everything for us too. He has given us so many blessings, but it is so easy for those blessings to take front seat to it all. You know, one of the blessings God gave us is time. And you know, some of us are a little stingy with this, but God gave us your time. God gave us every bit of time that we have. And I want you to understand that every one of the blessings God's given us in our lives has an eternal component to it. So I want you to get this, okay? This is kind of a revelation to me, and I hope it is to you too. That God's given you your time for you to enjoy. But I can tell you that there is an eternal component here that you can kind of clue in on. God's given you the time in your life for you to bring people to him. He has given you this time so you can have time to spend with people and to hang out with them and talk to them and pray for them. This time is actually meant to be used for his glory, not just for the things you want. What a cool thought. How about your house? there are a lot of people who enjoy their houses. They get their house just the way they want it, so that it suits them. But you know what it talks about in the Word? It talks about us being hospitable and having people over and, you know, allowing people into our homes. So the eternal component to your house is it's just not about you. It's actually you're to open it up to people and to enjoy having people over. And so there's an eternal component. We use it for the glory of God. How about your car? You know, we think about those things. We enjoy those things. I remember a guy back in California who, when I went to high school with him, he had this car. I think it was like a Mustang, and it was really, really nice. And he would have a cover on it at home, and he would take the cover off, and he would drive it to school. Then he would cover it out in the parking lot, and he would come check it at lunch to make sure nobody did anything to it. And then he would come out in the end of the day, and he would take the cover off, and he would polish his car, and he would drive it home, and he'd polish it again, and then put the cover back on. I mean, his car, his life was wrapped around his car. It was a cool car. But I can tell you that these kinds of things God actually gives us for His glory, because we're actually supposed to use these things in life to go places and do the things that He's called us to do. How about your job? Anyone? Your job is also not just about providing for you, but God has given your job for you to be a blessing to people. There's an eternal component to your job. And that there are people in your workplace who need to know Christ and they don't know Him, and they're actually looking for a real witness of Christ in your life. So your job has an eternal component. It's not just about being a police officer or a teacher or whatever you do. It's actually about being a witness for Christ wherever you go. How about this one? Fishing. Okay, fishing falls on the list. I know it's a little weird for you, but follow me on this one, okay? A lot of us enjoy doing things like this, recreation. And I tell you, fishing's awesome. I like fishing. But don't make this what your life's all about. There are people who obsess about this kind of stuff, okay? And hunting is actually on the list, too. We'll just put those together, okay? All right, it is easy to obsess about this stuff. I mean, Mossy Oak says it's an obsession, right? I mean, and that's no joke. There are a lot of people who actually obsess about these kinds of things. And I can tell you, God gives you this so that you can relax and have fun and even provide for your family and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you, you know, these things here are really meant to rejuvenate you and get you to a place where you're able to serve Him better. It's not about you making your life about this stuff, right? And I don't know why I put spouse after that. But anyway, typically hunting and fishing issues bring spouse issues, okay? So there's the connection for you, okay? All right, so here's the deal about your spouse, okay? God's actually given you your spouse so that you could enjoy him or her. They're meant to be in your life to enhance your life, but you're not supposed to wrap your life around your spouse. Do you know that? I hear people say things like this. If I were to lose my spouse, I don't know what I'd do. I guess I just couldn't live anymore. I wouldn't want to live anymore in this world. And I've watched people have their spouse pass away. They don't know what to do with themselves anymore. And they quit. They essentially quit living in this world. They may still be here, but they're not living anymore. And I can tell you, you were never meant to take this blessing and make it your priority in your life and wrap your entire life around your spouse. They're to enhance your life and for you to enjoy. And if your spouse passes away, it's okay to be emotional and to cry and to go through all those things. Those are normal things. But I can tell you, you're not supposed to lose your life over that. But it's when you put your spouse in a place of priority in your life that it destroys your entire life that you have here. And God says, I want you to live abundantly. So He never meant for your blessing to stop that. How about your kids? Anybody let your kids control your life? Don't raise your hand. All right? All right? That's a new cultural thing for us these days, it seems like. Here's the thing about your kids. God gave you your kids so that they're supposed to be a blessing to your life. And here's the thing also, is that you're supposed to raise Christian children. So you're actually putting within them the Word of God, and so they're being raised upright, and they're going to be adults one day. They're going to reach people for Christ. There's an eternal component to having children. There's an eternal component to having kids. It's not just getting what you want. It's not just about having a child in your life. It's not about being fulfilled. Many people who have children at young ages, many women will say, I wanted a kid because I wanted someone who would love me unconditionally. Children weren't about us. They're not to wrap our lives around. But they're for you to raise, for them to have eternal value to Christ as they grow. How about that one right there? Anybody? Facebook? All right, Facebook can be a really good thing, and it can be a really horrible thing, right? It can be all that stuff, all wrapped up in one. All right, so here's the thing. There is an eternal component to Facebook. Does anybody know what that is? It's being a witness for Christ out there and not just spewing a bunch of garbage and negativity. All right? Is that too direct for you today? All right, so this actually has an eternal component too. How about money? Do you know that all the provision God gives you financially is not just about you? That it's actually to be used for His glory? It's to be used for what He's trying to accomplish within this community? And so we understand that you know, it's not just about making money in this world. It's actually about doing what God called you to do with what He provides for you. And friends and family, actually, those can go together. These things here, you're not meant to wrap your life around your friends and your family, but you're to enjoy them. They're an enhancement to your life. There's an eternal component to these things. Do we get that we can take any blessing that God's provided, any blessing, and we can turn it into something that's not good? Because I can tell you, the blessings of God can end up being the blessing they were called to be, or they can be a thing that you become a slave to. It's just the way it works. But we have to be careful about that. But it's how we prioritize these things, and it's about extracting the internal component out of everything that we do. What a cool way of thinking, right? That everything in your life, everything that God provides you, every blessing that you have has an eternal component to it, and you get to think about those things, and you get to make that your focal point in life. The question for us is this: have we made our blessings our priorities? I think it's super important that we have time to like be introspective about this stuff and think about it. You know, like, what are our priorities really? You know, if you want to know what your priorities are, look at what you spend money on and look where you spend your time. And you'll begin to find your priorities. You know, we want to know if we've made our blessings our priorities and see if they become things that we've submit ourselves to. What is an appropriate response to the blessings of God anyway? What should our priorities be? This is the thing that Joshua was talking to his people about. He's like, look, you know what God's done. You know where you've been. You know what you've been through. But he starts getting him to the point where he says, look, you need to make a decision about who you're going to serve and who you're going to worship in your life. And here's what he says to them to finish the passage out. He says to all these people, he just gave them a history lesson about what God's done. He says to them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Serve God. Don't serve these things that you've put first. Don't serve all these things that you've been up against, these things you typically fall back to. He says, throw away the gods of your ancestor that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Man, that's like, I can tell you, a lot of people today, they're serving the gods of their ancestors. They're serving the things that their parents served and their grandparents served, and they're continuing to like walk this thing out generation after generation. And I can tell you something, Joshua was onto something here. We read that stuff and it just kind of passes by us. You know, don't serve the gods of your ancestors and so forth. I can tell you, there are a lot of people today who are still doing that, and that's part of the story of people today, even within the church. Because you're still living life and you're still worshiping the gods of your ancestors, because here's the deal. There are some families out there today that have their priorities a little bit out of order, and that their job is what they're all about. You know, there are families out here that have raised their kids to think that it's really all about money. You need to have plenty of money for your family. There are families out here today who have made the kids a priority, and that's what their mantra is from generation to generation, that it's about the children, and that's it. We wrap our life around our kids. And there are some that are the same way about their spouse. And I think it's time that we heed the words that Joshua says. He says, you know, lay down those gods of your ancestors, those things that maybe you were raised with. Whatever mama taught you and grandma taught you, if it's not consistent with the word, stop it already. He goes on to say this. He said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if you don't want to do this thing right, if you don't want to put Jesus Christ as the focal point of your life and make Him your top priority, then choose for yourselves whom you're going to serve. And that's the message for you today. If you're not going to put Christ first and you're not going to put Him at the center point of your life, then choose who you're going to serve, because you're going to serve someone. You're going to serve something. Everyone serves someone. Everyone worships something or someone. He says, whether it be the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. And I want you to get this today. He says here, you can serve the God of your family if you want to, which we just talked about. He said, you can also serve the God that has the land that you're living on. And I can tell you, if you want to serve your possessions, you can do that too. Here's the thing, as a pastor, my job is not to change your mind. My job is to tell you the truth. And the bottom line is this. We as Christians can continue to live in a place where we continue to do things the way our parents have done them year after year after year, generation after generation, and we can continue to serve those gods. Or we can choose to believe the Word of God and go that direction. We can choose to serve the God of possessions and put all of our possessions first before God. Or we can choose God. It's your choice. But here's my observation as a pastor. I see a lot of Christians just kind of walking around, and they're kind of dry, and they're kind of powerless, and they're kind of unhappy. And I can tell you, nothing makes you more unhappy, powerless, and empty in your life than choosing someone before God and making that your priority in your life. Because there's no end to that stuff. Because you see, if you put your spouse there, when your spouse passes, now what do? And if you put your kids there and your kids don't turn out the way you want them to and they don't do all the things that you think they ought to do, then what happens to your life? What happens when we take everything that's temporal and we wrap our life around that and then it ends up falling apart because it's temporal? What happens to you? I have watched people crash and burn so many times in life, emotionally and spiritually, because they wrap their lives around something that God said, I never intended for you to wrap your life around that. I gave you that blessing because I wanted you to enjoy it. But they wrapped their life around it, and they made their life all about it. And when it fell apart, they fell apart too. At some point, we have to decide, are we going to serve the God of our family or the God of our possessions, or are we going to serve God Himself? And when I say serve, I don't mean do stuff for Him. I mean submit yourself to Him. What are you going to submit yourself to? I'll be honest, a lot of my life I submitted myself to all the wrong things. Man, it got me in all kinds of trouble. Not only did it get me in trouble, but it took me to a place where I lacked complete relationship with God. I said, oh, you know, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, and I didn't even know Him. And I didn't know Him because I never took time to worship Him. You know why a lot of people feel that it's awkward to sit here on Sunday mornings and worship God? It's because they don't normally worship Him. They're too busy worshiping other things. And I can tell you it is awkward to come in here and worship God when you don't do it in your life because you're too busy worshiping the blessings of life. Is that too direct for you today? Because I'm not trying to be tough or anything. I'm just trying to tell you the truth here. There was a time in my life where I like worshiped all this other stuff, and I would come into church and I could never raise my hands. I could never do anything. I could never be expressive. Part of it felt like, I don't think guys do that. That was in my head. Okay, so that was part of me. The other part of it was this, is that it feels so hypocritical to make like my whole life about my dream and my plans and then come in here and say I've submitted myself wholly to God. I just couldn't do it. And I felt really dried up, and I felt really disconnected from Him. And I felt like I had to come in here and constantly repent and get myself before Him and get my salvation back because He wasn't the one I was worshiping. But like I never really understood that. You see, I had a worship problem. I didn't have other issues in my life. I had a worship problem because I was worshiping all the wrong things. But today you get to hear the truth, right? You get to hear the thing I probably really needed to hear back then. Is that the reason why your life is so dry and the reason why you're chasing God, or it feels like that, is because you refuse to worship Him and you keep putting everything ahead of Him. When I finally put God as number one in my life, things began to come together for me. Here's what Joshua finishes with. It's a famous scripture, and here's what he says. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He said, you guys can do whatever you want to do. And that, well, he didn't quite say it like that. Sounds a little New Yorker, but you know what I mean? Like, you do what you want, you know what I mean? He didn't say it like that. He says, I want you guys to choose for yourselves. You do whatever you need to do. You want to serve those false gods? You want to get involved in your possessions? You want to do things the way your family always has done them? You go do that. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to decide who we're going to serve, who we're going to worship, what we're going to be about. And it's really all about you. Nobody's going to make that decision for you. And so that's really the message to you today. Are you going to do things the way you've always done them? Are you going to continue to go after things in life the way you've always gone after them? Are you going to continue to worship the things in life or a feeling even? Are you going to do everything the way Mama taught you to do it because Mama said so? At what point do we break away from all that stuff and say, you know what? I'm not going to serve the God of my ancestors because that's not right. Like, I don't want to go there. And I'm not going to serve the God that has possession of the land because it's not about my stuff. I'm not even going to serve the God that has all my feelings the way I want them because my feelings aren't my God either. But as for me and my house and my heart, I serve the Lord. And at some point, we have to make that call for ourselves. Nobody can do it for you. But if you want to find the abundance in life the way God calls us to live, if you want to have a real connection to Him and a relationship with Him, and you want to see your life Spirit-driven, it can only be found on that level, and it's a level of worship. It's nowhere else. It's not just about reading more in the Word and getting more of the Word in you. It is about just submitting yourself to God and saying, God, I put You as number one in my life ahead of everything else, and I understand that when I put You as number one, that everything that I've ever needed and everything that I've ever wanted that falls within Your plan for my life, it will come to fruition because that's how God works. Do we know that? That's the truth of the Word today. I want to pray for you today that God solidifies this message in your heart, because this is one we need to get. What are your priorities? Have you made your decision? Who will you serve? Because who you serve is who you'll worship. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for the message that You've poured out today. Lord, I thank You that the truth of Your Word is still alive and well in us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that You help us to know who we serve in this world. Lord, help us to be courageous enough to look at our lives and say, I see what I'm all about and I don't like it. Lord, help us to be honest about that. Lord, we know that when we are honest about where we really are, and we ask that Your Holy Spirit begins to show us that when conviction sets in, conviction doesn't bring injury to us. Lord, we understand that as we begin to see the things we need to change, Lord, You're in the process of developing us. You're in the process of refining us. And it's not a process that feels bad. It's a process that takes us to the place You've always wanted us to be. Lord, I pray that You breathe life into us today through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, take us to this place where we understand that we have to make this decision for ourselves. We choose our priorities. Lord, help us to choose wisely with our priorities in life. Lord, help us not to elevate the very blessings You've given us. Lord, we want You. We want You as the one who blesses. And we understand that every blessing we've ever needed or wanted, Lord, that's within Your will, it will happen in our lives. Lord, I thank You and praise You for all of the blessings that You've given us, Lord. Lord, today we repent for ever putting those blessings before You. Lord, we're sorry. But Lord, I pray that You help us to honestly look at our lives and to see where we need to change. And Lord, take us to a place where we begin to understand You and know You better, Lord, and have a relationship with You, because we've removed all the muddiness of life, Lord, and we're just down to us and You. Lord, help us to make that statement to You that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, help us to lay down all the things that we've been taught growing up. Help us to lay down everything that wasn't ever of You and to take on what You have for us. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for all You're doing in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? There may be someone here today who says, you know, I have not chosen the direction of my life, but I know that God has a plan for me, and I want to see what He can do in my life. And I can tell you that walk with Him begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no other way to that. If that's where you're at today and you say, you know, I'm tired of living life the way I've lived it, but I want to see what God can do, and I want to accept Jesus today, if that's where the Holy Spirit's drawing your heart today, if you would just lift your hand where you said, I want to lead you to the Lord today in a prayer. Is there anyone here today? Thank you. Anyone else today? Praise You, Jesus. Thank You. Anyone else? Okay, if this is a decision you're making today, I just want to lead you in this prayer between you and God. Father God, I come before You today. I accept Your Son, Jesus, into my heart. Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. But today I submit myself to You. And I ask that You begin to change me from the inside out. Lord, I know You're the only one who can bring life change to me. Lord, help me to be the person You've called me to be. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. And I thank You for eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could we have the prayer team come forward, please? Yeah, come on up here, please.
God really impressed something on me this morning, and when He does that, whoever you are, you need to do what He says. And it's hard. It's not easy. But He just wants to encourage somebody out here today. Could be just one person, could be many, I don't know. And He just brought up to me about Lazarus. And many of y'all know God, Jesus raised him from the dead. But here's what God wants you to know, whoever you are, that when he did that, he also said that he wanted, it says right here, and he told Lazarus to come out, and the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, so whoever else was there, I mean, Jesus just raised this man from the dead, but he wanted to use somebody else to unwrap him because he was all wrapped up in his grave clothes. So if we see somebody, you know, whoever got saved today, Jesus just brought you from death to life. And and there's other people here that God has raised from the dead. And you might not have been physically dead, but spiritually dead. But you know what? God wants us to know that if we see somebody that needs help, just like Jesus saw the need for these people to unwrap Lazarus after he just raised him from the dead, well, if we see somebody that needs help, we need to help them. And also, if you need help, God has put people here to help you. So if you need the help, you need to ask for it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wayne, I want to thank you for being obedient this morning. You know, I know it's not easy. One of the things also, before you leave today, a lot of times we come in here with things that are burdening our hearts. There are things we need prayer for. There are some of you who are dealing with sickness and you need prayer. I don't want you to ever walk out of this place and not have access to someone who can pray for you. We don't ever need to carry burdens out of here that we came in with, ever. This place is a place of freedom. It's a place where God breathes life into you, and he uses other people to do that too. So if we can have the prayer team come up. If you need prayer for anything today, there may be something going on in your life where you say, you know, I just really need someone to agree in prayer with me about this, or you need God's intervention in something. We want to pray with you today. We want to lift it before God because he's the one who makes change and he's the one who brings resolution. So as I close in prayer, the prayer team will be up here and you guys can come on up. Father, we thank you for what you've done in this place today. We thank you that your word continues to breathe life into your people through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you solidify this message today in our hearts, Lord, and help us to get our priorities right. Lord, we want to put you first in our lives, not just by words and things that we say, Lord, but in actuality, we want to put you first. Lord, let us consider that in our lives every blessing you've ever given us. And Lord, I pray that you help us to see the eternal component in every one of these things, Lord, so that we can serve you in everything that we do. Lord, we want you to be number one in our lives. We want you to be number one in our thinking when we wake up in the morning, Lord, and the thing we think about before we go to bed, Lord. We want to be more concerned about what you want done in this life, Lord, and what you want to work out in us, Lord, than anything we've ever wanted for ourselves. So, Lord, I pray that as we leave this place today, do you give us opportunity to share with those in our community who are looking for you. Lord, help us to be a witness to your greatness, your healing power, your provision, Lord, and your love. We just love you and thank you and pray that you bring people our way so that we can share with them your love and your grace that you've had for us. Lord, I pray your blessing over each and every person, every family represented here today, and I pray that you go with us in power and in peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful week.